Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. I'm Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty, and we're here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. breaking down what's happening in the local real estate market, answering your questions, and seeing how we can help the most amount of people.
Exactly.
Every now and then, we like to really kind of delve into the lending industry, and as you've been hearing this week, the majority of the show today, we're going to be turning over to our premier sponsor, Scott Ridgway with Cobalt Mortgage. Scott, welcome to this week's show, and I'll just call it your show this week.
Good morning, Lance. It's great to be here. Cobalt Mortgage is working hard to make sure that you guys are putting lots of people into homes right now.
Well, we really like that, and once again, we always like to thank the studio, the station here, and especially John for being here to kind of see us through the whole process every week.
Exactly, and thanks to Scott for making financial stuff actually interesting.
Yeah, we do have a lot of fun here.
Well, he can explain it in a way that it doesn't put you in a coma.
That's the goal. That is the goal.
That's the goal, and it's such an important, you know, piece of the puzzle as we go through the real estate process. Another guest that we have in the studio this morning that I'd like to say hi to again is we have our insurance expert, State Farm agent Ryan Sullivan. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're doing great, and welcome back to the show. Great response from the first show you did earlier this year, and we appreciate having you here.
Glad to be here.
So I understand you're going to have a top 10 list to talk to us about a little bit, too.
Yeah, in the spirit of Letterman, we've created a little something.
Okay, great. This has been our two-week run of top 10. So,
Well, there is a lot to talk about, and it is cataloged now on your site, isn't it?
Yes, we are. In fact, now if you go to kenmoreteam.com, we've been working with the technicians, and we have it set up now that these broadcasts are now available after the show. Mm-hmm. If you need some more information
podcast?
So the shows are available the following week via podcast. I went checked out the website. I won't take any credit for it. That goes to a very valuable member of the team, my wife, Miss Karen Kenmore, for setting that up.
Technology expert.
So thank you, honey, for doing that. And so, yes, everybody that wants to tune in that might miss the show or want maybe some of their relatives to hear pieces that they heard, feel free to log on to kenmoreteam.com and check out the new podcast. So,
absolutely.
Without further ado, you've been hearing about it. Today we are talking about the top 10 deadly mistakes that a buyer can make when shopping for a mortgage. Last week we talked about the top 10 seller mistakes when selling your home. Mm-hmm. But it's so important right now, maybe more so than ever before, as we have important deadlines that have to be met. Everybody knows we've talked a lot about utilizing the tax credit and the move-up credit. So you got first-time home buyer credit. You got the move credit for people that have been in their home longer than 5 years and are moving to a new principal residence. But with these deadlines where we have to be under contract by April 30th, closed by June 30th, you don't want to make a mistake that could cause your mortgage application to be delayed, cause you not to get a mortgage.
Right.
And if you close 4 or 5 days later, it could really cost you, in this instance, $8,000. So, Scott, I'm going to turn it over to you. Let us know what some of those mistakes are and how we can avoid making an $8,000 mistake.
Well, sounds great. I appreciate the opportunity to do this. There's obviously far more than just 10 deadly mistakes when looking for a lender. I know that's what we've been promoting. So we'll just dive in and start with the first one, and they're not numbered in any kind of an order. And there aren't really any that are more important. They're all important.
They're all equally
– yeah.
Well, you don't want to do them.
Exactly. And we're really here in the best interest of trying to provide the most accurate information so when people are looking to purchase a home that they're really going through the methods that are going to benefit them the most. So number one is getting pre-approved. house hunting without getting pre-approved is really not adding value to you from the standpoint of if you're out looking at a home that maybe is outside of what your qualification range is, mm-hmm. and that is really just what your income scenario will support, then you're wasting a lot of people's time and your very valuable time looking to purchase something that may be not meeting that criteria. So many home buyers confuse pre-approval with pre-qualification. None of your information is verified during the pre-qualification process, which usually amounts to just a phone call between you and your mortgage banker. During these pre-approval processes, your financial information is verified, your credit is pulled, and your application is reviewed by a professional mortgage individual or lender or banker. Many home buyers go house hunting in the, let's say, just a $300,000 price range, only to find out later that maybe they're only qualified for $250,000. So pre-approval allows home buyers to be out there shopping with confidence, with a letter in their hand that says, we've spoken with a lender, we're ready to go. So that's number one, is make sure you get pre-approved, or like I like to say, nothing is pre, because that's what's supposed to happen before the real deal. Be approved.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an emotional thing, too. From my standpoint on the real estate side, I think this mistake can lead to other mistakes, because what happens is someone wants me to show them the perfect house. They find the perfect house, and it has more than what they wanted, and people emotionally fall in love with that house, and then I worry that they'll make other mistakes. So say it's a $300,000 house, but like you said, they should have only been looking up to $250,000, but they start to rationalize, now they're not working the plan, you know, that they might have had with the pre-approval. Now they're saying, okay, let's try to sell this car really quick, or let's borrow some more money from somebody else. And it leads to other big financial mistakes just based upon emotion, when had they only been looking to $250,000 and they had a rational plan set out, they might never make some of those mistakes later on. So I hate to see anybody in my car or consumers that get heartbroken when they find what they feel was the perfect place and miss out. So
know what you can afford to buy before you start looking.
From real real life on the streets, you know, I can attest to that is a huge, huge point. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, and that kind of comes into number two, being prepared. And another thing is you may qualify for that $300,000 house, but if that is not where your comfort threshold is regarding your house payment, that's another thing to be kind of considering, is where is your comfort level with what house payment you are prepared to take on. So be prepared when you're going to be calling me. Be prepared with questions. Write down on a notepad to ensure that we're making most efficient use of your time and my time, so that we can get through as much information and get back to you just as quickly as possible, too. So write down your questions before you call me, so that we can make sure, which this is number two, that we get you all the answers that you need as efficiently as possible, so that when you do get with Lance, you're ready to go. So that's number two. Be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, moving on quickly, is be clear and concise with your questions when you're calling a lender. Again, have them written down, but there's no need to embellish or provide a long-winded explanation to a lender or banker. Be straight to the point, and you'll find that the lender will respond in the same manner. The more efficient you are, the more effective the communication will be with the lender.
Give them
really
the facts
is that
they
easy.
Need, yeah. Because they just need to know, what are the facts, what's your income, what's your debt to asset, you know, give them the facts,
right,
and they can plug it in and work with that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the thing I've found, is I've had customers before, you know, when they talk to a lender, almost be offended by some of the questions they're asking. But it's, you're delving into a position in their life that to most people is, you know, sometimes very sensitive, and it's used to being private. But now you're going into a position where who you're dealing with, and it should be somebody I feel locally that you can trust, who you're dealing with now, they need to know what's going on, because they're underwriters and people beyond them that make the final decisions on these loans. You know, Scott's not asking these questions to be pushy and nosy and just want to know general things.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking these questions because he has to know to be able to get the approval and get it done. It's hard, you know, at some point to give that information to people. All I know is that, you know, this is a provider that we trust and deal with, you know, on a daily basis. And so, you know, when we're sending them there, you know, you can feel comfortable that information going out is in the strictest of confidence. So.
Absolutely. And the financial privacy laws protect your buyers and your clients from all of that. It's really important.
Very, very important. So that's the biggest thing is I've had, you know, lenders and people call me and say, well, Lance, geez, how much, I couldn't get it from this guy, you know, how much he really makes or what he needs to bring in. And I said, I have nothing to do with that.
Right.
I'd say, you just have to go, you just have to make sure from the client side that you're giving very when a lender asks for specific information, they need that because it's a requirement to fill in the box to get the loan processed.
Yeah, we're really good not point. Asking questions to find out more than we need to in order to get the loan closed. The rule of thumb is just collect the information that you need to close the transaction. If you have multiple asset accounts and we only need one asset account to put the transaction together for you, that's really all we should be asking for. It really keeps it simple. What we're going to do is get into two more specifics here, number four and five. Number four is changing jobs. Lenders need to verify employment for the previous 2 years. Your income could be disqualified if you change jobs during the home loan application process. Changing jobs within the same industry with little or no downtime, 30 days or less, is acceptable to most lenders. But remember that changing careers during the loan process could jeopardize your loan. So before you take a new job offer, talk to your mortgage broker, your mortgage banker, Lance, myself, to determine if that change could upset the home loan process. Because what we look for is 2 years in the same line of work or similar field. Now, customer service is a pretty broad-based occupation. Administrative
definitely
is a very broad-based. So if there are different companies or industries that you've worked in, but you've done a job that is similar as far as the things and tasks that you do every day, those are things that we need to look at. So again, we're going to be asking very specific questions to get to what the guideline is going to require to be able to get you into your loan and your home as soon as possible.
So you don't care if they change jobs the day after they close their loan, but during the loan process, it's...
Well, what I'm most interested in is not what I care about. It's what the guidelines are, and we are going to meet those guidelines to the letter of the law to make sure that we're getting people into homes.
Definitely.
But we don't really have any control over what somebody might do after that transaction has closed and funded and their name's on the title to that property. But that's a very good point.
That makes a lot of sense.
So I hope that's helpful out there. Number five is a really important one, and I've seen transactions kind of go sideways when I think we talked about last week that person that shows up with a $725 car payment and they've got this gorgeous new car out in the parking lot and it really kind of is almost as big as the house payment that they're looking to have. So there's that parable about the cart before the horse. You want to have, like we talked about last week, the garage to put the car into first.
Yes. That makes a lot of sense. I tell you what, from a real estate standpoint, what happens sometimes, and, you know, this always happens a couple times during the years, I sell somebody a house, you know, we get it under contract, and we do the home inspection, and then, you know, maybe a couple weeks or two before closing, they call me up, and they need to run over to the house and take some measurements for some curtains to put in the windows.
Sure.
And I meet them out at the house, and they pull up in their gorgeous new car. All of a sudden, Lance starts to get lightheaded. I get heart palpitations.
Right. That's when I get the phone call.
Are we going to be okay?
And I'm always like, please tell me you talked to Scott about this or paid cash for that car.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, here's number five is buying things on credit during the mortgage application process.
Because that not only affects your debt-to-asset ratio, but it affects your credit rating.
It can.
It can affect a lot of things. You're saying you have X amount of disposable income, which can support this amount of loan. Then all of a sudden you slice out a big chunk of that pie to pay for a car,
right.
You're looking at a lot less money you can put towards it. It's pretty much common sense.
Yeah, it just tells you how much you have available to be able to support that mortgage that you're trying to put together. So here's some specifics on that. Do not take out new credit during the home loan process, even if you are already pre-approved. Remember that lenders can pull the plug on a loan any time prior to the time that the funds are dispersed. So buying a new TV on a payment plan, leasing a new car, or charging furniture before closing could jeopardize your loan. Opening up new lines of credit or increasing balances on existing lines of credit is harmful to your credit score. So to be on the safe side, don't make changes to your credit profile until after the transaction's closed, the ink is dry, the title's in your name, and it's a closed transaction.
Well, I mean, that's a great point, Scott. And the way things have changed over the last couple months, I mean, I always equate it to a story of how crazy some of the guidelines and stuff have gotten. And I showed up, you know, a couple weeks ago to a closing, and I was reviewing the HUD statement, and this was a transaction where a couple was buying a $250,000 house, and I looked on the HUD statement, and there was a weird charge for $50 to American Express. And I asked the closing agent, I said, you know, I'm sorry, this is not a normal charge. I always like to check and see if something seems off to me.
Perfect.
Why are we paying this $50 charge to American Express? And she said, well, it was a condition of the loan. And I said, these people are putting $50,000 down, and you're telling me the lender had an issue with a $50 balance on an American Express card? It was crazy to me, but
that is,
you know,
interesting.
Everybody in underwriters, I think, you know, in general, you know, and maybe you could speak to this more. I mean, I just had to shake my head, but everything is being scrutinized so much more nowadays than it was, you know, even a year ago, that I see more stuff like that happen. So those were great points you brought up. Sometimes those details can make a huge difference.
Well, like I said before, lenders can pull the plug on a loan anytime prior to the time that the funds are disbursed. I mean, it even comes down to credit scores. I was working with some clients this past week, and one of the things that a lot of people don't know out there, because nobody is incentivized to tell them this, is if you have a credit card that has a $1,000 high credit limit and you are over 50% as far as a balance on that high credit limit, so over $500, that can have a negative impact on your credit score. If you are below 50% but above 20%, so anywhere between $200 and $500, it's a wash as far as your credit scores. If on that $1,000 high credit balance you are at $200 or, excuse me, less than 20% or less than $200, that is the only time that it starts to have a positive impact on your credit score.
It's all in the details.
Nobody out there has an incentive, meaning nobody gets paid to tell people these things to get their credit fixed before coming to see me, because, again, you have to make sure that it reports on your credit account so that when I pull your credit report, you've got the most positive credit score. So that's a real big piece out there. And if any of you folks out there want to give me a call, 737-6004, I'm happy to give you some of these tidbits that I've learned over all these years to help you start repairing your credit or increasing your credit scores prior to taking your loan application and getting in Lance's car so you can be out looking for a home, because those are things that don't happen overnight. We really need about 30 to 45 days in advance to start working on those.
Go ahead.
How long does it take for payments to hit a credit report generally?
That's a great question. And what happens is, instead of knowing what your payment date is on an account like that, you want to call that creditor and find out when their reporting date is to the credit bureaus. Because if, let's say, you make a big payment on Friday, but they reported on the prior Tuesday, you're going to have to wait potentially a whole month before it re-reports that payment you made. But if you make a payment on Monday because you found out that that creditor is going to report on that account to the credit bureaus on Thursday, then you've really been able to take a 30-day window and decrease it to 3 or 4 days because you were aware of when that payment needed to be made to be ahead of when they reported. Real, real important information to know about your accounts.
Well, and do all banks and credit unions report monthly?
I don't know that answer. That's a great question. It's really going to come down to every single individual account that is installment or revolving. Right. You're going to want to call them specifically. And for your specific account, when it was opened, you want to find out what the rules and regulations for that creditor were at the time and make sure you find that out. So every single credit account is something that you want to check. I don't think that there's any kind of industry standard there.
Right. Great. So a lot of details then.
A lot of details. You bet.
And that will take us up on our first break. You've been listening to Scott Ridgway with Cobalt Mortgage here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update, breaking down for us the top 10 reasons that he believes are the top 10 deadliest mistakes
to avoid. The 10 we're talking about today.
Exactly. There's many more. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about protecting yourself with some insurance tips from our insurance expert, Ryan Sullivan at State Farm.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team here. We've been listening a lot about some mistakes that buyers can make when shopping for a mortgage with Scott Ridgway of Cobalt Mortgage. Scott, thanks for those great tips in the beginning there.
Absolutely. It's a blast to be here.
And now, like we added for this year, a new feature that we told you about early in January is we like to talk to our insurance expert from State Farm, Ryan Sullivan, at least once a month so we can get some tips about insurance. We know how important it is to protect your home and your assets. And so, Ryan, we're glad to have you on board. Thanks for coming back. And it sounds like that you're going to jump into with a little top 10 list here for us. What do you got?
Oh, I like that. That's good.
Drum roll, please. Something my agency and I concocted a little bit to kind of poke some fun. We have a little bit of a top 10. It's actually a top 8 list.
Okay, good. I like it.
Top 8 reasons we don't have local insurance agents, or you shouldn't have a local insurance agent.
now wait, you're local,
wait a
right?
It's
oh, okay.
So we're having fun here.
I'll get it soon here.
Okay, well, Lance was about ready to have a conniption.
Read the first one.
Now, this is tongue in cheek.
So I can understand
why you shouldn't have a local agent.
Right. Number 1, I prefer the service I receive from faceless clerks at 800 numbers to local professionals.
Okay, very good.
Number 2, I feel secure putting my hard-earned money in a mailbox and sending it to total strangers. Number 3, I have plenty of time to evaluate all of the different kinds of policies out there, and I especially enjoy reading the industry publications.
That is good. That's priceless.
That is nice. So you're telling me you read those for us?
I'm not willing to admit it, but yeah, I do.
Okay, great. Well, I like that,
actually. We appreciate you staying up on the industry for us.
Number 4, I prefer being thought of as a computer entry rather than a person. Number 5, I feel the companies that sell to mass markets understand my specific goals and personal coverage needs.
Yeah, real detail there,
real
right?
Detail,
real attention to detail there.
Detail-orientated there.
Right, well, and that one to me is probably the one that rings home the most, because all three of us, we all work very closely with our clients, and it's about finding the right fit.
Definitely.
And everybody's needs and objectives are so much different.
Well, that's exactly right, and I can, from personal experience of working with Ryan, I know I've sat down with him and gone through things, and he's found, you know, a couple times some big holes in some coverage I had, and I sleep better at night knowing that you filled those, and I never would have gotten that type of service from somebody that was not in our local market.
Well, that's what we strive for.
Good, I appreciate it.
Number 6, I have nerves of steel. I know exactly what to do if I crash my car or my home is burning down.
what I know is call Ryan.
Call Ryan.
What's your number?
783-0172.
Very good.
And that's what we're here for. It's, you know, I mean, even on the back of your ID cards, from almost all carriers, you'll see what to do if there's an accident. Call the police, get down everybody's information, so on and so forth. But, you know, that's one of our most popular phone calls. What do I do next? What do I do?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Where was I at?
You were
number
6.
Nerves of steel. There we go. Next one. I have a great lawyer, and I know how to use them.
No thanks.
Another priceless tidbit.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and last but not least, all salesmen are scum. I would much rather trust my family's well-being to cartoon characters or Hollywood actors.
Wow, you didn't hold back this month. Now, in January,
that was awesome.
In January, he was a little hesitant to even, you know, be on the show.
He came with guns blazing today.
Yeah, there we go.
There's a comfortability
shot right across the bow. I like that though. But,
well, the last one is, you know, hits home because there's, you know, salesmen unfortunately have a horrible stigma in a lot of ways. You're thinking plaid pants, you know, dirty golf shirt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of the salesmen I know, the professional salesmen anyway, our job is to help our clients.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I say that tongue-in-cheek in the sense that, you know, I won't be able to see my clients in the grocery store if I know I'm not helping them. And, you know, my job is to put them in a better place.
Yeah.
Well, and you've got a whole team of people around you that when there's things that happen on a house or somebody does have an insurance claim, that you know who to call. It's a trusted resource for you when they need something fixed, too, because you're not really the one that's out there putting new roofs on or fixing homes, are you?
No, my clients are probably better off to not have me put a roof on their house for them. It's not my forte. But
another thing, too, is that, you know, you were talking about working with people one-to-one. We've been with the same, and by the way, we do have State Farm, too. We've been with the same carrier, the same agent for like 16 years. So when I have a question, I call them up and go, hey, you know, John here, and they know who I am.
Yeah.
And I ask them the question, and I know these people. They have the same people in the office they have for years.
Mm-hmm.
So I just call them up and say, hey, we got another kid that's going to start driving. Okay, what's the damage going to be? You know, tongue-in-cheek, of course, with that. But when we have a change in the family, we call up them, and they say, well, here's what's going to happen. And they break it down for me so that I can understand it.
Right.
Because you're not going to get that talking to somebody with a computer headset
and
600 miles away.
That's exactly right. And when you know somebody, I mean, it's nice to have somebody like Ryan when, you know, when I see him at SunMart and he's like, hey, what are you doing today? And I'm like, oh, I'm taking the quads out to Juniper with the kids to ride the quads this weekend. And Ryan looks at me with a funny look and says, well, did you insure that fourth one? I've never seen that before.
Yeah, is that new?
and I look back. I mean, sometimes you just forget. And I, you know, and I look, yeah. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. Yeah. Well, let's go
that
ahead and
one's
do that.
Staying on the trailer.
You know, and another real good point that John just made, if you folks out there heard that, was that when he calls in, it's the same support staff that's been at that company the whole time. And that's something that really adds a lot of value is with Ryan, with the agency that you have, you've got a group of people that have been with you a long time, and they're getting to know your clients just as much as you are.
Right. And in some instances, a little bit better, to be honest with you. And that's really, really important because if you were to call 800 call center somewhere in the Midwest, you know, you've got to write down, you know, who you talk to, their mm-hmm. extension, remember what hours they worked, because you want to make sure that company is going to honor what they said. And lo and behold, if they didn't, you call back and you're going to talk to an entirely different person
who doesn't know you from Adam, and you have to repeat the whole spiel all over again. And well, I talked to so and so, and the person you're talking to says, well, they're not in our call center, they're in our other call center.
Yep.
Which is, you know, clearer. So that's
happened to you.
Well, not with insurance, but it's happened in another financial area.
Right. Well, we're talking about trying to do business the old-fashioned way, and that's being out there and earning the business and building the relationships and making sure that our clients just don't feel like another number in a voicemail somewhere.
Definitely. And Ryan, we appreciate your expertise in the insurance. If anybody has any, especially homeowners insurance questions about what's happening right now, Ryan, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Oh, the easiest way is to call my office. It's 783-0172. And once again, they're jokes tongue-in-cheek, please.
Yes.
Oh, you're going to get phone calls
now. You're
going
to get phone calls now. So, all right, let's wrap up here. I know Scott has some more deadly mistakes to avoid when shopping for a mortgage and a mortgage lender. Hit us with another couple mistakes there, Scott.
Well, we've got, I don't know if you want me to try to burn through these five, but I'll make them fast. Too short a lock period. If your lock expires when you're putting a transaction together, you could be charged either the current market rate or the original lock-in rate, whichever is higher. This is standard policy with many lenders. So make sure when you're locking in your loan that you're allowing sufficient time
now,
to close your transaction.
I mean, sometimes we take this to a basic level. If somebody just joined us, now let's just go back really quick. What are you saying when you mean lock? Lock what? Lock giving us your mortgage?
Point. Yeah. We're not locking your hands behind your back. We're not locking things
what
like that.
What do people need to be
what
worried about locking?
What that is your interest rate. When we lock in an interest rate, we provide you in writing exactly what the terms of your loan are, what your interest rate is, if there's any associated cost, if you decided to buy down your rate, which is spending additional what are called points to get a better interest rate for the time you're going to be there. And if you have questions about that, please call me. It is very, very important. So locking in your interest rate. Making sure that interest rate is guaranteed to you for the entire time that you need to close that transaction.
Perfect. What else you got for us?
All right, number seven, coming to closing with no money. Some people, they forget to bring a check to the closing table, and that can actually unnecessarily delay your closing. So remember, a personal check will not do. Bring a cashier's check to closing so that it's guaranteed funds. Otherwise, you could potentially delay your closing.
Right, because those funds have to be verified and sit, in many cases, in the account at least 24 hours before they're allowed to disperse them.
Yeah, so check with your closing agent, your escrow company, and ask them if there's any kind of seasoning requirement overnight for those funds.
And seasoning means sit in the account for 24 hours.
I don't know. Barbecue season's coming up, too, so that could mean something else.
It has nothing to do with Johnny's seasonal.
That means sitting in that account long enough so that they've verified those funds.
Excellent.
Number eight, borrowers have to sign a stack of documents at closing, and many borrowers are so overwhelmed that they want to just sign whatever's put in front of them. Not a good practice. Unfortunately, many borrowers are shocked at the closing table when they discover that the mortgage terms, and this can happen potentially, not with Cobalt typically, but it's happened. We've heard the horror stories. With closing documents that are potentially not the terms that they originally agreed to. Big, bad no-no in the finance world, but you hear the story. So the best thing to do is to ask to receive the documents prior to closing. This can be arranged through your title company, and you can review all the documents in the comfort of your own home a few days before the actual closing. That will increase your comfort level when you're signing them, and it'll also help make sure that the escrow company can answer any other questions you may have at the time. So get them in advance.
Read before you sign.
Read the papers, yes. Number nine, we'll zip through this because this has everything to do with Ryan Sullivan at State Farm. If you're not shopping for home insurance until you're right ready to close, that can maybe sometimes not give you the best shopping insurance. So start shopping your insurance. Get with Ryan Sullivan as soon as you have an accepted offer. Many buyers wait till the last minute to get insurance and don't have time to shop around. So 783-0172. Ryan Sullivan, State Farm, give him a call and let him do the shopping for you.
And especially if you're a first-time home buyer, and I know this, we learned about this back in 99 when we bought our home. Regardless of where it comes from, you, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you have to show proof of homeowner's insurance when you're getting a mortgage.
You do if you're getting a mortgage, yeah, exactly.
Unless you're paying cash for a house, you know, you just won the lottery. But we used our current agent that we've been with. They got us a policy, but they said you have to have homeowner's insurance.
Yep, that's a requirement.
You know, that might come as a bit of a surprise, but especially if you're a first-time home buyer. And if you don't have one, and this is why you want to deal with Scott, because if you're going through a lender that's not necessarily looking out for your best interest, they might provide you with a homeowner's insurance, which will cost you an arm and a leg.
It potentially can, because they might not be so concerned about what the payment is.
Well, yeah, they're more worried about making sure that this pile of sticks is covered if something happens. And again,
exactly.
It ties into the local lender.
Well, and not all home insurance is built the same, contractually, meaning that Company A may not cover the house the exact same as Company B. And so it's important to go back to working with somebody
and really
professionally.
Sit down with somebody.
You need to sit and shop around.
Yeah, and you know, it's there's hundreds and hundreds of different nuances. There's over five or more different policy forms that the insurance services organization has published. And Form 1 doesn't cover the house the same as Form 5. And you know, it's kind of like no different than an old beat-up slug bug versus a Chevy Nova versus a Cadillac versus a Mercedes. There's different policies that are going to do different things. And you want to know that
liability, comprehensive, all that. It's just like automotive insurance. You need to make sure you got the right one.
Like Scott said, it's not something you should wait till 3 or 4 days before closing to do.
Or
the day before. You need to be meeting with Ryan early in the process, you know, very soon after you have gone under contract on that house. So hit us up, number 10.
Number 10, we're gonna stray a little bit from the purchase side of things, and we're gonna talk quickly about refinancing your house. One of the mistakes that can be made is not making the analysis of where do I break even on the costs of doing a refinance. So find out what the total cost of the refinance is, then figure out how much you will save every month. Divide that total cost by the monthly savings to get the number of months that it makes sense to stay in the property to break even on the costs of refinancing. So an example would be is if your refinance costs are $2,000 and that's going to save you $50 a month, your break even is $2,000 divided by $50 a month, which equals 40 months. So you should refinance if you plan to stay in that house for at least 40 months. So if you're on a contract or you're thinking about having Lance list your house, there might be scenarios where it does not make sense to move forward with the refinance. Even if it's going to save you $50 a month, if you're not going to be there long enough to break even on that, save your money. And that's why you need to call somebody like me to make sure that we're helping you with that sort of a break-even analysis.
Yeah.
So it only works, though, if you're refinancing to save money monthly. if you're refinancing to switch from an adjustable rate mortgage to a fixed rate, or from maybe a 30-year loan to a 15-year loan, it's much more difficult to perform that break-even analysis. So if this is a situation that you feel you might be in, call me, Scott Ridgway, Cobalt Mortgage, 737-6004, so that we can help you with that analysis.
Guys, I appreciate you coming in today. Yes. Two great service providers that we use on the Kenmore team, and we appreciate having you guys on board. Once again, you can contact myself, Lance Kenmore, at 727-8977. Or on the web, you can go to kenmoreteam.com. Mm-hmm. If you didn't get Scott or Ryan's information, feel free to go to kenmoreteam.com, and you can link directly to their website from the radio show page.
And don't forget the podcast.
And if you missed any of this, or you have any relatives that you want to listen, or friends or family that you want to listen to this show, feel free to go to kenmoreteam.com. And now, available on Monday, get the podcast of the show. So, once again, yeah, thanks for tuning in to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update.
And we'll see you next Saturday morning right here at 9 on News Talk 870.